Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hallelujah. It's always good to come home. It's a bit of a long drive for us this morning. Amen. We're about 3 minutes away. Praise the Lord. It's always good to come home. This is I have always referred to Faith Christian Fellowship as my home church. Many of you are new faces, so you may not know me that well. That's all right. Before we get done today, you'll know me a little bit better, but hopefully you'll have a revelation from heaven. Amen. Before we get into the word today, I appreciate Pastor Paul asking me to come and speak. It's always an honor to speak to God's people. It's a special honor to be able to come home and speak to God's people. But I want to do something a little different. I'm different. Right? This morning, I want to take a moment as a congregation and lift up Pastor Paul. I don't know if you know what you have. I know from serving under Pastor Jim that you cannot appreciate what it means to be a senior pastor until you're a senior pastor. I thought I had an idea. I never wanted to be a pastor. There's a call. There's a grace. There's also a battle. This morning, Pastor Paul's great. You guys know that. But I want to pray as a congregation for him, if nothing else, to give you an idea of how to pray for your pastor. Can we teach pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you today for this place that you have ordained. I thank you for this people that you have called. And I thank you for the shepherd that you have placed in their life. Father, as a congregation, as a body of believers, if we do anything, we want to honor the gift that you have placed in this house. And Father, we thank you for the revelation and the wisdom and the inspiration and the impartation of the Holy Spirit that has flown from Pastor Paul to this body. But Father, we understand and recognize that that does not come without great sacrifice. And Pastor Paul has been willing to pay that price for us in ways we can't know or appreciate. But we ask right now for a special anointing. Father, I ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon his life in this very moment and this very hour that will change and shape his ministry for future generations. Father, I thank you for where we've come from. I thank you for the foundation that was laid. I thank you for the direction that you have given. But Father, you are setting him up and you are setting this church up for greater things. And we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct and impart to him what is needed in this body. Father, give him the gift of discernment to see the wolves in sheep's clothing. Give him the discernment to see the direction that you need for your people to go to reach this generation with the glorious gospel of Christ. Father, I know that the attack is greater on the head than it is on any other person. As he is the head of the spear today, piercing the darkness, Father, I pray a hedge of protection around him, around his family, over his home, over everything that he touches. I plead the blood of Jesus over his life. I thank you, Father, for supernatural protection and provision for his family, for him personally. But Father, more than anything else, I thank you that the eyes of his understanding are being enlightened so he will understand the here and now of what his calling is and what his inheritance is now, and that you would give him the courage, you would give him the compassion to be able to break that bread of revelation down and deliver it in bite-sized consumable chunks that we can take it and run with it and we can pick up the vision and carry it to completion. Father, I thank you today that every enemy that comes against him, one direction will flee seven. I thank you, Father, that there is no plague and no illness that will come nigh his dwelling because of the anointing upon his life and the covenant that he has with you. Father, right now I ask for the passion for the things of the kingdom of God to be increased. I ask for the anointing to deliver the words of the kingdom and your words and yours alone. I ask for the anointing to deliver it under the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit to rest on Him in a way that He is yet to experience. Father, as the body of Christ in this local place, I ask that you would stir every heart to rise up and to embrace and engage the vision to carry it out. We recognize that Pastor Paul can't do it all, but he is charting the course. He is setting the course to enable us opportunities to engage with the kingdom and to accomplish the kingdom under that same anointing. I thank you that that anointing that flows from the head of the Lord Jesus flows to Pastor Paul, and it touches every member of this body, and we are empowered with the same revelation. We are empowered with the same impartation to do the works of the kingdom of God, not only on this hill, but throughout this valley. We honor you for it today. We thank you for this gift that you have placed in this place. And we make up our minds that we will honor the gift at every opportunity. We thank you for him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You love your pastor? You'll never know, you'll never understand until you're in that seat. You just can't. I didn't. But today I want to encourage you because I know your pastor wants you blessed. I don't know if you know this or not. God wants you blessed. Amen? So we're going to stir up some things that you already know. And then I'm going to give you some revelation from heaven that if you will allow it, will change your life. Amen? 3 John, the second chapter says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you believe God wants you to prosper and be in health? How many of you believe God wants you to walk in perfect divine health? How many of you believe that prosperity is not just spiritual, but it's natural? The Word says He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, says if you'll hearken to the Word of God and observe to do all according to all that is written therein, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. How many of you are in line for the tidal wave of blessing that God wants in your life? Joshua, the first chapter in the 8th verse, says, If you'll meditate in the Word day and night, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Listen, I could quote scriptures all day long about God wants you blessed. God wants you to walk in favor. God wants you to walk in health and healing. Why? Because what you walk in is a reflection of who He is. And when we live beneath our privileges, we are sliding the work that Jesus did on our behalf. Come on, I'm an ambassador for Christ, aren't you? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter says we're an ambassador. We're a representer or a representative of who God is and what Jesus did. So if we're walking around with our lip hanging out, dragging the ground like a vacuum cleaner, I don't think we're a proper representative of who God is or what Jesus did. I've got to embrace the Word. I've got to learn to walk in the Word. And I need to be a reflection of the goodness of God. Boy, have we heard that this morning. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but my God's a good God. You say, well, Pastor, what about, you know, God allowing bad things to happen? Well, how could a good God allow bad things? Because He's a good God. So hang on, Pastor, it don't even make sense. He allows bad things because He gave you a choice. He will not override your will, so if you don't engage with the Word, you're not going to have what He said. And you can't blame God if you didn't engage with His Word, because His Word laid out what you're supposed to have. And if you don't have it, then you just need to get into the Word, and we're going to talk about something that the church is really good about. And I could spend hours talking about the goodness of God. Probably months is what these people in the back would tell you. Amen. But if we don't... The church is good at telling you what you're supposed to have. We're not real good at telling you how to get it. Is it okay if we let the rubber meet the road this morning and we tell you how to get from God, how to receive supernaturally from heaven what God has intended and planned for you? Have you come up against some roadblocks and some obstacles that have kept you from the blessing of God? We're going to show you today how to kick those down and how to receive exactly what the Father has for you in every area of your life. Amen. Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So am I waiting for the blessing? I can't hear you. If He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, I'm not waiting for the blessing. I already have the blessing. The problem is we don't understand faith and we don't understand how to access the kingdom, so we naturally don't have the blessing when the Bible says we do. Now, somebody's wrong. I know you've never been wrong before. I've only been wrong a couple of times this morning. Right? We can all grow, we can all learn, we can all do better about being a reflection of God's goodness to a lost and dying world. Right? What kind of excuses did you get this week when you invited people to church? Bunch of hypocrites up there. Right? You should fit right in. Come on down. Right? What do? We get uptight because, well, maybe they're talking about me. And we start walking in condemnation because some lost person's making an excuse why they don't come to church. And we start worried that maybe we're not living up. Why? Because we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't know what belongs to us. I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed. Oh, okay, we got one of them arrogant preachers. Well, if believing what the Word says is absolutely true, then I'm arrogant. Right? If that makes you arrogant, then I'm arrogant. We got one of them hyper-faith guys in here today. Well, listen, I believe that God meant what He said when He said it and said what He meant when He said it. And what He said is as real and relevant today as it was when it was penned. Come on, now, I'm not believing in an Old Testament blessing that belonged to the Jews, because I've been grafted into the vine. I've been made accepted in the Beloved. Amen? I've been blessed with Father Abraham. I got the same blessing that the Jews had, but a better blessing, because I got a new and better covenant based on better promises. So if they can believe God's hand is upon them, I can believe God's hand is upon me. Oh, you're starting to wake up. We're going to get you there. Come on. God's a good God. God only does good things, and even allowing bad things to happen to good people is proof and evidence that He's a good God, because He gave us a choice. Because He gave us a choice, we made the wrong one. Right? And I've heard people make this argument. Well, you know, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. I understand that. And I opened up the door for the devil. I understand that. But God made a sacrifice in the garden. Couldn't He leave him in the garden? No. He's too good for that. You say, Pastor, they had everything that they needed. He blood covered their sins, covered their nakedness. Why couldn't He leave him in the garden? Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden, but also the tree of life was in the garden. And if in a fallen state they had eaten of the tree of life, they would have been forever sealed in a fallen state, and salvation wouldn't be possible for any of us. God kicked them out of the garden for their own benefit. He's a good God. He's always good. He only does good. So if you're hitched up to the bad, you need to get in the Word of God and find out if God has permitted that, if God has allowed that, or God has made it part of my covenant. Because God's a covenant God, and He only does what His Word says. And if I can't find in there where God does bad things, then I need to understand He does allow me the consequences of my choices, because He's good. I promise you this morning, God is not at fault for your problem. But He'll fix it. He'll get involved in the middle of it for His glory. He will allow you to come out of it and to get better because of it. He will allow you to walk through a season of difficulty that you put yourself in. Can anybody be honest this morning and say, I walked through some hard times because I made some bad choices? Come on. So, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I made good choices. I followed God. I obeyed God. And it's been hard. Yes, there's a devil. He hates you. John 10:10 is the great delineation of all of human history. The thief comes not before to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, Zoe, the God kind of life, and that more abundantly. So God wants you to have abundant life. The devil wants to take everything you got. It's really as simple as that. So if somebody's stealing from you, it's not God. If somebody's robbing the promises from you, it's not God. So recognize who it is. Put the devil in his place. Romans 16:20 says, the very God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. How many of you have heard this? Well, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So I'm not waiting for heaven for this to be a day of rejoicing. Isn't that what Carrie said earlier? Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. I'm going to rejoice. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It supernaturally has indwelt me from the time I got born again. Now I just have to let it produce. Come on, it's summertime. Holly fixed some corn on the cob a couple of times this week. Last night. Boy, it tastes like summer, doesn't it? Well, I was raised by a good country Christian man. And I can't remember a time in my life that I saw my dad eat corn on the cob and just eat one ear. Anybody besides me like corn on the cob? Drenched in butter? Sprinkled with salt? Come on, if the butter's not to your ears, you didn't eat it right. Right? Corn on the cob is good. Can I get a witness? But I remember as a kid, now I wasn't allowed to do this as a kid, but I would sit at the end of my table and I would look down at the head of the table and I would see Dad's plate. He never had one ear of corn. He had a dozen. I'm serious. The chewed up, spit out, looked like a raccoon got a hold of it. Pile of cobs where the corn used to be was stacked on his plate. I'm like, hey, brother, I'll take some. He's like, ain't nothing left. Why? Because it's good. Well, if one is good, two is better. I got a friend of mine, he says, if one Oreo is good, the whole pack is better. Come on, I'm starting to get a witness right now. If one ear of corn is good, two is better. That's why he didn't say, take a little dab of joy that's down in your heart. But he said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, I make up my mind to rejoice. I'm going to sit there with a grin on my face like a Cheshire cat with a stack of ears of corn on my plate when I get done. God's too good to get just a little dab. God's too good to get a Sunday morning dose and not get any more. I'm going to play it again, Sam. I'm going to rejoice. Come on. So we've covered it, right? We could spend forever on it, but we've covered it. God wants you blessed. But in order to be blessed, we have to learn to receive from heaven. Receiving is one of the most difficult things in the kingdom. It just is. Anybody besides me have a hard time receiving? Come on. Missy will tell you, she probably don't even like to get me gifts because I don't want to open them. I don't want people to look at me. Here's your birthday present. Fantastic. I'll take that home. Thank you very much. God bless you. Come on, that's not right. That's not fair. What is that? Just pride. We're not good receivers. The giver's not the issue. We either walk in pride or we walk in condemnation that we think we're not good enough to receive from God, so we let the devil talk us out of it. We operate in competition that we're worried that somebody else got something we didn't get. right? There are things that are keeping us from receiving from God, and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing keeping any believer or yet to be believer from receiving from God. God wants what's good. God wants what's good for you today. So it's up to me to believe that and to receive it. Now, I'll show you in Scripture just to give you some examples. Remember when Jesus healed the man that was sick of the palsy and had to let him down through the roof? And instead of healing the man, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And they said, "Who do you think you are? Forgiving this man's sins. Only God can do that." Jesus said, "To show you that I have the power to forgive sins, son, take up your bed and walk." Which is harder, to heal the body or to forgive our sins? It blows my mind how the church can from a position of desperation, receive the forgiveness of sins, which is the hardest thing to do. But we struggle with the blessings that come after it. Anybody in here glad you're born again? Come on, my name's written in heaven. I'm headed to glory. Amen. I'm glad for heaven. Now, I'm not in a hurry to get there. Right? But I'm glad for heaven. But I'm not going to base my life looking on someday, some way, when I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of me, and He's here to advance the kingdom through and by me, so I'm going to do the work of the kingdom now. Right? I'm not going to allow heaven to distract me from kingdom. Come on, we got too many people with an escapist mentality that, well, I'm just going to hang on, tie a knot at the end of the rope, hang on till Jesus comes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You got work to do. You got blessings to receive. So, Pastor, why are you so hung up on blessings? Because I want to be a doer of the Word. And the Word says that you're going to abound to every good work. Well, how can you abound to every good work if you don't have any good? I got to have extra good so I can give good away. Oh, he's one of them prosperity preachers. Listen, I don't need much of anything. My wife will tell you, I'm pretty simple. I don't need much. But I need everything that's in the kingdom so I can get access to it. I can lay one hand hold of heaven, the other hand hold of earth, so I can get people delivered, redeemed, restored, reconciled. I can get them provision when they need provision. I can get food to the hungry and clothing to the naked. I can get shelter to the homeless. I have to have resources to do the work of the kingdom. But if I believe I'm somehow disqualified from the resources, I'll never do the work. Can I be honest with you? The devil doesn't care if you've got a bajillion dollars in the bank, if you're not using it for the glory of God. Matter of fact, he'll give it to you. He offered it to Jesus. He said, you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. I know people that have bowed down and worshiped the devil because they're chasing the kingdoms of the world. He'll give it to you if it keeps you from the eternal kingdom. So we can't measure our spirituality by how much blessing that we have, because the devil will give you blessing. Right? But we just quoted Malachi chapter 3 a little bit ago. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. I think I've shared this here before. He's not trying to pour you out money in your pockets. He's trying to pour you out. But if you're not blessed, he's not pouring out a blessing when he sends you out. Anybody besides me ever met the Christian curmudgeon? Grumpy old men. Come on, sometimes I am that guy. Right? That's not the blessing he's pouring out. He's pouring out people who are blessed so that they can go be a blessing and a reflection of the goodness of God. But if you can't get the blessing, right? Bill works at a distribution center. Well, if the truck is empty every time you end up at the retail location, they're going to ask you not to come back. I got to fill the truck up before I back the truck up. When I back it up, I'm going to dump the whole load. Isn't that what Ken Cowan says? Beep, beep, beep. Come on, y'all know Brother Ken. But if I don't have any blessing, what do I have to give? So, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money. You got joy. Sometimes that's all people need, somebody to have a smile on their face and act like the world's not coming to an end today. That'd be a good start. You got something to give. You got something to offer. But we got to receive it. So, as I said, I don't know what time I'm supposed to stop. There's a glare on my watch. I can't even tell what time it is. You don't care, do you? Good. The church is good to tell us that we should be blessed, but not how to receive it. You ready for the word? Got you warmed up? Worked into a lather, ready to receive the blessing of God? Good. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In this very basic foundational scripture from all of the kingdom, right? How do you get born again? You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. We need to read it again. Y'all know how to get saved, right? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. What is that? That is two worlds colliding. That is the spirit world, which is the heart of man, the inner man, the inward man that's being renewed by day by day. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The Holy Spirit, my spirit got fused together. The two became one. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus, a species that's never existed before. That's a spiritual encounter. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if I'm going to encounter God, I've got to encounter Him in the spirit. I believe in my heart, in my spirit man. I confess with my mouth, which is my natural man. Two worlds collide and salvation happens. I got born again in my spirit, and I show the outward works in my flesh. The problem we have in receiving is we're trying to receive in our hand. We're trying to receive in our head. And you got to receive from Him in your heart. I cannot receive from God because I understand it. As a matter of fact, if I understand it, it's probably not God. Honey, you're not that smart. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But His Word accomplishes what it was sent out to do. Why? Because the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So my job is to get a hold of heaven and to get a hold of earth and bring heaven to earth. That's my job. That's what I'm here for. So people that don't know God can encounter heaven here, so they'll want to go there. Can we go down a rabbit trail just for a moment? If I could stay too long, Alex, yell at me. Sometimes we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. And if we're in a place religiously where we're just waiting for heaven, we're no earthly good. Right? Well, I'm going to heaven someday, and the rest of these people can just, you know, they can go you know where. No. No! My job's to get heaven to earth. As a matter of fact, the scripture teaches us that heaven is coming to earth. Now, I know I'm going to tip some holy cows here, but I want you to understand, to change your perspective. The Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The city of God is going to come down from heaven, and it's going to rest on the earth. It's 1,500 square miles, 1,500 wide, 1,500 long, 1,500 high. Go check out a map. It's 1,500 miles, and you're going to find it's going to sit from the Garden of Eden to Israel. Heaven is coming to earth. Well, I thought I was going to heaven. Yeah, you're going to go visit heaven in the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a good time. It's probably a whole lot quicker than what we think. But if my mindset is I'm going to go float on a cloud, pluck a harp, and the angels drop grapes in my mouth for eternity, you got it all wrong. There is a redemption of God's creation that is coming to pass, a renewed heaven and a renewed earth, just like I'm a renewed creation. It's going to sit on planet Earth. Come on, I know I'm tipping some holy cows. Well, I didn't know that. Get in the Word. Shift your perspective to His ways and not your ways. We are training for reigning. I am in preparation to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, the earth is going to be restored to God's original intention in creation. And I will have been trained and practiced to reign with Christ. But I'm not waiting for the millennial reign to reign. We reign in this life now. Well, if I reign with the Lord Jesus today, what am I waiting on for walking in the blessing? How can I be a representation of His if I can't receive from Him? How do I receive? I've got to believe it. I've got to get a deposit and a download in my spirit. I've got to get it in my heart. I've got to get the word from my head. Logos, written word, to rhema, revelation of the inspired word of God that will change your life forever. If you have a relationship with God that is lukewarm and you're living in the Logos trying to figure it out, you'll stay in Logos forever. Well, I know what the Word says, but I don't know how to apply it. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to get a relationship with the author of the Word who's going to bring it to life, let it download into your heart, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the words that go forth are going to accomplish what they were sent to do. It has nothing to do with me. It is activating the kingdom of God within me. Second Corinthians 4:13. Listen, I know sometimes I get to be the scripture machine gun. Not as bad as Mike Manuel. Take good notes. You can catch up on it this week. If you want my notes when I'm done, you can have them. Second Corinthians 4:13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak." Faith is a spiritual force, not a natural force. Where does faith live? In the spirit, in the heart of man. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Faith and fear both operate parallel. They're spiritual forces. They're both voice activated. They both go out through the words that you speak, lay hold on the spirit realm, and bring the reality in the spirit to natural manifestation. I've got a family member. I love them. I love them because the Lord tells me I have to. Come on. I can honestly tell them Jesus loves you and I am working on it. Come on, you got people that way too. Don't just laugh at me. Let's laugh together. I got a family member, my goodness, if there's anything in the world that's going wrong, they got it. If it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong for them, and they're going to say it every single time. If there's a flu bug, they got it. If there's cancer, they got it. If there's sickness, disease, doubt, fear, unbelief, they got it. They're right in the middle of it. God just must hate them. That's just the way they operate. And guess what happens? The law of attraction works. My goodness, every flu bug that has ever come through the state of West Virginia, they get it. It takes them 3 times longer to recover than anybody else. Now, well, you know people like that, don't you? My goodness, it's just... And I've tried to share faith with them. If you'll change your confession, you'll change what you're attracting. You align yourself with the kingdom of heaven and the goodness of God will begin to manifest and operate in your life. And they just refuse it. They cannot believe that it happens. I'm like, oh my goodness, if I could walk around with a mirror. Right? You're operating in the spirit of fear and it's working for you. So if you can do that, I know you can operate in faith and it'll work for you too. Why? It's the same spiritual law and principle at work. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." We know that grace is God extending His hand to humanity in our mess. Faith is us extending our hand out to His hand of salvation. Grace is God's response to us. Faith is our response to Him. The whole design, the entire plan is that the two meet up. Now, if I will operate by the grace of God, through the faith that He's given me. You don't even have to come up with your own faith. Guys, this isn't hard. Right? He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Stop listening to your favorite cable news channel and get in the Word. Fear comes by the Word, but not God's Word. Faith comes by the Word. How do I get faith? I get in the Word. I get around people of like precious faith. We begin to share and encourage and edify one another. Right? And my faith is built up and encouraged. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema Word of God. Not the religious mindset, just written Word. Right? But the Rhema, the revelation of the Word of God, where He's opening up to me the mysteries and secrets of the kingdom that are available to all of us. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Right? Listen, I'm not teaching anything new. This is Bible basics. Can I get a witness? This is Christianity 101. You've got to renew your mind to the Word of God. You've got to be transformed, completely renovated, tear out the old, and install the new. How do I do that? I've got to get in the Word. I've got to have the washing of water by the Word, Ephesians 5 tells us. Right? When I do that, I can begin to operate in faith. Faith is my connector to the spirit realm. So if He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, already done, completed, accomplished, then in my spirit, I already have all the blessing. Well, how do I bring it into the natural manifestation? I connect the spirit and the natural through faith. Listen, I've heard every excuse under the sun. Well, you're just faking it. No, I'm not faking it. I'm not pretending until it happens. I'm not releasing positive confession into the universe. I'm releasing the Word of God that formed and shaped the worlds that we live in. That's bigger than anything you will ever experience. They were set in motion and put in place because God said, "Let there be," and there was light. Well, guess what? Does God's Word ever stop working? No. Stars are still being born in the universe today. Why? Because 6,000 years ago, God said, "Light be." Your words have power, and your words are a magnet to the realm of the Spirit. I am setting off a beacon. Psalms, I believe it's 103:20 says, God's angels are, help me, I lost it. God's angels excel in strength and hearken, pay attention, are drawn to the voice of the Word of God. Well, who gives voice to the Word of God? You don't get to make up the Word. I just give voice to the Word. I gave up my right to make up my word or my opinion March the 27th of 1988 when I gave my life to Jesus. I made Him Lord. Anybody else do that? By Lord, I mean boss. The Greek word there is kurios, supreme authority and master. He's my master. I never have to make a decision again the rest of my life. I don't. I'm going to go down. Time me, I'm going down another rabbit trail. There's a study out about the number of decisions that a person is capable of making in the course of a day. And successful people make fewer decisions. I've got a boss that he's got one outfit. Blue blazer. Khaki pants, blue shirt. That's all he wears. I don't know if it's one outfit or he just got the same thing in the closet. I have no idea and I don't really care. When I read that study, I immediately thought of him. He's a highfalutin big wig, right, in corporate America. Why? Because he doesn't waste time on silly decisions. Somebody said something earlier about being stressed. You're not stressed, you're stretched. Let me say that again. You're not stressed. You're stretched. Neither are comfortable, but stretching allows for more of God. He tells us to lengthen our cords, to stretch ourselves and stretch our expectation or our level of faith. You're not stressed. You're not about to lose your mind. You're being stretched in the Spirit so you can accomplish more. You can contain more. You got a bigger truck to make a bigger delivery for the kingdom. You know what happens when you become overly stressed? Everything in your body, including your brain's an organ, I don't know if you know that or not, your organs and your brain will shut down. It's called distress. Eustress is the stress that enables you to perform. Distress is the stress that will shut you down. You're not stressed. You're stretched. You're capable of more than you've given yourself credit for, and God is putting a demand on what He placed on you, and it's time for you to respond and be. I can do more for the kingdom than what I'm doing today, can't you? So I'm not stressed. God is stretching me. Why? Because that's what new wineskins get. They get stretched. They expand with the new wine. And then they get poured out. And then they get washed. And they get oiled up. And they get anointed. And they go back and they get stretched even more. Your capacity is far greater than your faith to receive. Grace and faith. We're not saved by works. But faith without works is dead. Anybody ever read James, the second chapter? Faith without corresponding action is dead. I would call it religion. You say you have faith, but your words, your actions, your daily activity don't align with what you say you believe. You don't have faith, you have religion. So why do we say things that we don't believe enough to do? Can I help you? You're in fear. Well, I have to say that. That's what church people do. That's what pastor taught. I've got to do that so I can be perceived as a believer. You're operating out of fear. Remember all the curses that came upon Job's life? You know what the Bible says about him? The thing I feared the most has come upon me. You will attract it. You will draw it in by activities that don't align with the Word of God, or you have cognitive dissonance. Your head tells you one thing, your heart tells you another, and then you are stressed. You're not aligned in the Spirit, so there is a disconnection. Faith without works is dead. Right? Cognitive dissonance, saying one thing, doing something else, creates anxiety in your life. And I know it's common today to go take a pill to help your anxiety. Quit taking a pill, take the gospel. Right? I'm not against medicine, but if you're dealing with anxiety, more than likely you don't need a pill to fix it. You need to align your thoughts with your spirit. And you need to speak the Word of God over your life and not be bounced around by everybody else's opinion of you and what they think about what you're doing and where you're going. And you need to do what God has called you to do. God has called you to be blessed and be a reflection of His goodness. It's no more complicated than that. We just need to do it. Most religion, and boy, there's a lot of it in our valley, is dead. It's disconnected from the source of life and truth. And I can say that I'm in a somewhat of a unique position. That my dad was a church hopper. We've been everything you can think of. We've been in the Baptist church. We've been in the Church of God Anderson. We've been in the Church of God Cleveland. We've been in the Pentecostal church. We've been in the Tabernacle Association. We've been everywhere, man. And when I was a young adult, I came to the place in my Christian life that I left the church my parents were attending because of some stuff going on, right? I was acting a little bit like the world does today. And I began to visit churches up and down this valley. And I struggled mightily to find real, authentic believers. Till one Sunday morning, my mom said, "Why don't you go over to Jim Baugus' church?" I said, No, you got me wrong. I was in a tent revival with him. I'm not going to that church. I'm not going up there. So I went everywhere else. And I tried. I didn't try them all, but I tried a lot. One Sunday morning when I was at the place, I said, "God, if I can't find something real, I'm done. I will walk away from the kingdom and I will walk away from you." I came through those doors and I sat right back there. And I knew before I sat down, I was home. There is real. There is authentic faith. It is preached and lived in this place. And it's our job to disseminate it through this valley so that people can have and receive and really, truly experience the goodness of God. But listen, I went to a lot of churches. They didn't care if I came back because they didn't believe they had anything to offer. They were going through the motions trying to appease their own conscience. They weren't too worried about mine. But that Sunday morning when I walked out of this building, somebody flagged me down on the parking lot and would not let me get in my car. Why? We know we got the goods. We know we've got what you want. We know we've got what you need. And if we truly believe that, our actions will align with our words and we'll do what it takes to connect people to the kingdom. Because we know we've got something to offer. I'll close with this thought. Your words are your faith thermometer, right? If you want to find out where you stand in the kingdom or in your relationship with God, just carry a recorder around with you. Listen to yourself a little bit. And then actually listen to it. Actually listen. No one likes to listen to themselves on recording. Listen to it. And it will tell you where your heart is. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me give you two scriptures. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that... What's the regulator? The regulator of your receiving is your ability to believe it. God is limitless. His unsurpassing, immeasurable glory is limited by our finite faith. God's not the cause of you not receiving. You're welcome. Mark 11:23, you can probably all quote it with me. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart or his spirit man, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I know we got a lot of religious mindsets we got to overcome. We got religious strongholds that have been built up in our life throughout decades and generations of failing to believe God for what he said. Is there any limit to what God will do for you? None. The only limiting factor is me. God does not need your excuses, and he has made no exceptions. All things are possible to him that believes. But if you believe, if you have faith, there's corresponding action. I've got to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. I've got to lay hold of the promises of God. He's already said yes, but I've got to say, let it be so. Be it unto me according to your word. And the Savior was born. There is nothing impossible in your life. There is no situation that is too far gone that God won't get involved and do what only he can do. There are no exceptions and he needs no excuses. Well, what if it doesn't work? God doesn't need your excuse. I've said this here a blue million times. I'm in sales. He's in management. My job is to deliver the product. He can take the complaint. Well, why didn't so-and-so get it? I don't know, I'm not so-and-so. But I guarantee you this, every sick person you don't lay your hands on is going to stay sick. Even Michael Jordan said, you miss every shot you don't take. Would we come to the place that we believe God is who he says he is, does what he says he will do, and he will do it for you and give him a chance? How many testimonies have we heard throughout this valley of people that said, God, I don't know what you can do with this mess, but here it is, good luck. And now they're leading ministries. They're changing nations. They're changing families. Why? Because God can when you can't. But if you're still holding on to, I can figure this out, you will hold on to it till they put you in the dirt. As long as you think you can, he will let you. The moment you surrender and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But I know that I can get a hold of heaven. And I can release your word. And in every situation, it will not come back to me empty, but it will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. I'm here this morning to tell you there is no impossibility in your life. There are no exceptions, and you need to make no excuses. If you're believing God for it, and there's a promise in the Word that pertains to it, it already belongs to you. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to figure it out. Logic is the enemy of faith. I'm not telling you it doesn't make sense. I'm telling you you're not intelligent enough to be more intelligent than the Creator. I'm reasonably intelligent. You know, I'm probably, you know, I mean, I'm half as intelligent as anybody else. Right? But I don't rely on intelligence. I don't rely on wisdom. I don't rely on experience. I rely on the one that put me here. I rely on the one that knows my end from my beginning and every step in between. And I allow him to illuminate my path. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to have for lunch today. And the beauty is I don't have to have the pressure of any of it. I no longer make decisions. I no longer make choices. I say, Heavenly Father, you've placed me here for such a time as this. I don't know what you need me to do, but I will make myself available. I don't know what you have me to do, but this box truck, this semi-distribution center for the kingdom is available for your use. What you have to do today, use me. What you need to deliver today, you can use me. I won't hold any of it back. I won't touch your glory for it. I will deliver the load and give you the glory. It's no more complicated than that, church, but when our mind gets in the way, we overcomplicate it and we stop ourselves from receiving. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you've been believing God for something and it hasn't happened yet, yet. You understand that chronological time is not Kairos time. We measure things inside of time that God doesn't exist in. God transcends time and space. He's not waiting on you. It's already done. Well, I haven't seen it. Listen, I have seen things come to pass decades after prayer was made. Our job is to hold fast our profession because he is faithful that promised. My job is not to figure out why. My job is not to figure out how. It's not even my job to figure out when. It's my job to act in as created in his image and his likeness, to call things which be not in the natural as though they already are in the spirit. So if I'm in the spirit and I'm in faith, I'm speaking to those things in the natural that have yet to change as though they already have, because the spirit realm is more real than the natural. The spirit realm is eternal. This is temporal. This too shall pass. So I don't have to work it out. I don't have to figure it out. I have to receive it. It's as simple as that. There's two things the Lord laid on my heart. One is people that have been believing things for years that haven't seen it come to pass yet. God wants you to get your breakthrough today. Pastor, how am I going to do it? You're going to lay your baggage at the altar. Your baggage of thinking you're strong enough. Your baggage of thinking, well, we'll figure this out. Your baggage of, well, it'll eventually work out or we'll go on to glory. But we're going to apprehend, we're going to lay hold of the Word of God, we're going to put a word on it, and we're going to watch that word come to pass. The Lord spoke to me during worship. He said, you're going to another level of the spirit of the minstrel. You've worked on a gift, and you should give yourself to a gift. But if you'll give yourself to the anointing first, he'll take you to levels you didn't think were possible. It's the anointing, not a gift. I'll take somebody without a gift with the anointing any day of the week. Rely on the anointing. If that's you today and you've been believing God for a breakthrough, you've been believing God for a manifestation, I want you to come today. I want you to do one very difficult thing. I want you to receive. I want you to quit trying. I want you to quit working. Receive by grace through faith. God has already extended the promise. Have I laid hold of His hand and connected the heavenlies with the natural? Come on. Hallelujah. It's your moment. This is your moment. Oh, Lord, you're good. You're good.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.